This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about espresso.
Yes. Oh, I could use an espresso right now.
I could use about 19 espressos right now.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I told Lauren this. I've gotten on this weird mountaineering kick where I'm just watching all these videos about mountaineering. So I stayed up late watching them.
I'm so curious about how this came to be. I mean, I know that you are too, but like,
I think it's mostly because I had a free trial of Paramount Plus first,
and then I got
one of IFC second, and they both have mountaineering documentaries. And I'm not entirely sure how I arrived to that point, but I was just trying to make the most of my money. My free trial.
You're not money, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yes, I stayed up quite late watching these. And I was so tired, too. Like, there was a get-together last night, and I really wanted to go. I was too tired to go, and I was trying to be an adult, and then I ended up just watching these mountaineering videos.
Hey, you're allowed. You're allowed to adult however you want.
Yeah. Okay. I will. Thank you.
I just love espresso, and it's so comforting to me. And I feel like I could use that right now. And I could usually right about now is when I'm like, oh, do I have a cup of coffee? Have I not made myself a cup of coffee? I should be having a cup of coffee. This is my last time to do that before. It would create last call for coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as you know, I have to be to and through by 12 p.m. However, I also love espresso. I used to think when I was younger, I remember thinking it was so sophisticated. Like that was, if I touched it, I would like catch on fire or something because I'm not sophisticated. Like my taste buds are not worthy of that drink. And I also thought that the caffeine level was way too high for me. I'm not entirely sure where I got that idea. But I thought the caffeine was way too high. But since then, I have had so many lovely espressos, and I love them after a nice dinner or with dessert. They're just like the most warm sigh I could do without annoying you listeners. But yeah, that's how I feel about espresso.
No, me too. And I still like, I guess there's few things that make me feel as just like, sophisticated than a little cup of espresso with a little strip of lemon zest. And there's something really perfect about it. And, you know, like I don't make it at home. So it's I get that rush of like someone else has created this for me and served it to me. And I don't know, it's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't make it at home either. And so I associate it with like fancier events or nicer events or just with people, with company. And I normally drink things really quickly, but espresso I can go slowly with, which is nice. I can enjoy slowly.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny because like there's like arguments about how it's most properly consumed. And like, and like a lot of people say that you're really supposed to shoot it. You're really not supposed to sip it. I sip it too. No. I'm a sipper.
I couldn't shoot it. At least at this point, at this current stage, I couldn't do it. But maybe in the future.
I don't like shooting things. It's not pleasant. I don't know.
Me either. Usually when I shoot something, it's because of what I'm shooting isn't pleasant.
Yeah. Right? I want to savor it anyway.
Exactly. Okay, so you can see our past episode we did on coffee. It was quite lovely.
Yes.
Also, the episode we did on instant coffee.
Sure.
Which a lot of you wrote in about. Probably other things, but those are the two that come to mind.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. And this one is so many rabbit holes that I couldn't or didn't go down. We're going to have to do entire other episodes on like espresso machine technology.
Yes.
Like modern technology and like how it's continuing to develop. And I don't different kind of espresso drinks that you can make. But this is not those episodes. Those many nitpicky, weird episodes.
Which we'll love to do in the future. But for now. I guess this brings us to our question.
It does.
Espresso. What is it?
Well, espresso is a type of drink made via a specific process of pushing a small amount of hot, pressurized water through packed coffee grounds to produce a strong shot of coffee. The term actually refers to the process. The American English espresso is a shortening of the original Italian cafe espresso, or espresso-style coffee. We decided to just use it as a noun for the drink, too. And you can add any number of things, as I alluded to a moment ago, to straight espresso, sweeteners, steamed milks, flavored syrups, to create any number of other drinks. But that base level espresso is warm and bitter and a little thicker than normally brewed coffee, dark brown in color, almost black with a little bit of reddish brown to kind of like honey colored foam on top called crema. That adds a little bit to the texture. I know it's weird to say texture when you're talking about a liquid, but I feel like the word mouthfeel is even weirder. So anyway, I don't take your pick of weird words. And espresso has the potential to have a whole range of flavors all on its own, depending on the beans and the roast level of the beans and the very precise way that the espresso was made. You can get notes from like sweet to savory, floral to fruity, like caramel to toast. Coffee is a cocktail of flavor molecules, and espresso is sort of a concentrated coffee. Technically, it's like extra extracted, but concentrated works as a loose concept. It's like espresso is like, it's like Robin Williams' genie, It's like phenomenal cosmic power, itty bitty living space.
You're so good at this.
Oh, thank you.
I'm always impressed with these descriptions you come up with. Yeah. It's so small, but so much is packed in there.
Yeah.
So much flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are passionate about this stuff. And I would like to cautiously stress right off that I am not a barista, nor am I an engineer, nor do I have personal skin in the game of, like, whether you want your water to be 192 degrees Fahrenheit or, like, 193. I do not have skin in the game of whether you brew at 8 bar or 9 or 6.
Ooh.
Or lower than that. I would never tell you what to do with your espresso. I want you to experiment and form your own opinions and tell us about them extensively.
Mm-hmm. That was a nervous agreeal, but yes.
But yeah.
Agreeal is not a word, but yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah, thank you. Agreeal.
My hands are up in the defensive position. Mm-hmm. But okay. Very basically, when you're making espresso, it's like turning everything about a drip coffee maker up to 11. Like more pressure, finer grind, less time, go, go, go. The idea here is to be able to make a shot of espresso in 25 seconds by compressing steam into water at just below the boiling point of water and then forcing it through coffee grounds. But having a machine that can precisely heat and pressurize water is really only half the equation. The other half is like the physics of the grounds themselves. So you grind coffee beans for espresso a lot finer than you would for regular coffee. Most regular coffee brewing operations call for like a gritty sand-like texture. Yeah. Espresso calls for more like a powdered sugar texture. Very fine. That's because when you do this, you're increasing the surface area of the beans for the water to hit and come away with various coffee molecules quickly. Which is what you're looking to do because in only 25 seconds. But B, you're looking to slow down the water just slightly to give it time to pick up those molecules. And wet coffee grounds, especially when you grind them real fine, are a non-Newtonian fluid, meaning that they kind of lock up when you subject them to stress or can do so. Lock up in exactly the way that, like, water does not. You might have witnessed this if you have ever dumped coffee grounds down your sink and suddenly the sink started backing up. And all you have to do is kind of swish them around, get them to unlock, and then they flow right through.
Oh! Now I understand a line from Captain America Civil War that I never understood before. Thank you. When Tony Stark was so mad because they've been putting coffee grounds down the disposal, I was like, why? What? I don't do it, but I was never sure why I didn't do it. So, okay. You've solved like two mysteries for me right here.
Yeah. Like ketchup. Wet coffee grounds can lock up, which you've also seen if you've ever tried to get ketchup out of a heckin' bottle. Like a weirdo.
I sense some frustration.
I may have some pent-up glass bottle ketchup frustration. It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. At any rate. Right. By grinding the coffee beans for espresso extra fine and then tamping them down tight in your filter basket, that first little bit of hot water that hits them actually makes them lock up and like hold on to the incoming water for just a few extra seconds, strengthening the brew to the proper espresso level strength.
That's so cool. Espresso physics.
Espresso physics.
I love it.
Frequently, you are also looking to roast your espresso-bound beans to a darker level than you would for normal coffee, because you're looking to bring the oils out for easy access. The crema, by the way, on top of a shot of espresso, that that little bit of foam, is wee droplets of coffee bean oil and other proteins and weird little coffee bits suspended in water in like a colloidal structure, like a whipped cream, but coffee foam.
All right, got it.
Yeah.
I love coffee foam and whipped cream, so this is great.
Yeah, foams are great. So you do need some special equipment to create espresso. You need a grinder that's up to the task. The industry generally recommends burr-style grinders for this instead of the more common blade-style grinder. You need a machine that can create steam and pressurize it into liquid water at just below boiling point and then shove it through fine ground coffee.
That's it.
Yeah. No big. Yeah. These machines do come in a few different formats. There's the sometimes derided stovetop or campfire type devices that are really simple, like a mocha pot. Yeah. These things are basically just two chambers with a disc for coffee grounds between them. And what you do is you fill the bottom chamber with water and bring that water to a boil. And the resulting pressure inside the device will push the water up through the grounds and then further up into the waiting carafe. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steam expands, pushes the water. Cool. Note that this is only pressurized to like 1.5 times the normal air pressure that we humans normally hang out in. And so this drink will be a little bit more bitter and a little bit thinner than other types of espresso. Pump-style machines, meanwhile, also have a heating chamber where you boil water, but that steam is then pumped into a small sealed chamber. This pumping system is capable of pressurizing the steam to like 8 to 10 times that of normal air pressure, much, much more pressurized. Under pressure, it condenses into liquid at just below boiling temperature, and the resulting hot water is then released down through your puck of ground coffee, which will have been fitted into like a handheld device called a portafilter, which also has a spout on the bottom to pour the brewed espresso out into a little cup.
Mm-hmm.
These are the basics, and there are lots of variations on this technology. I mean, you have probably noticed that like the little like countertop device that you or a friend may have looks and sounds different from the thing at a coffee shop. The main difference you're looking at is that there are different kinds of pumps. A manual pump is old school, but these days most modern machines have either a fancy electric rotary pump. Those are the cafe style machines usually, or a more simple electric vibration pump with a piston. Yeah. Since the world has gone digital, though, computers can control the pressure and heat of these chambers pretty precisely. There are different kinds of boilers. Professional machines will have two so that you can operate your steam wand for steaming milk independently and not have to kind of go back and forth temperature-wise with your boiler. You can also have different kinds of heads that connect the pressure chamber to the portafilter. What's releasing that hot water down into the grounds. Some are connected straight to the boiler, others are separate. No skin in which one is better. The separate ones are cheaper and easier to replace. The connected ones are considered better by many humans.
I have a friend who she got an espresso machine for Christmas several years ago. And it looked intimidating to me, but she was very proud of it. And she loved it. I'll have to ask her. It was big. It's like, oof. For like this small drink, this is quite a big machine.
Yeah, pumps are a serious thing. This is not entirely an episode about espresso machine technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll have to reach out to her. This also reminds me of the time that while we were at South by Southwest when we got the idea for this show, me and past host of Stuff Money Were Told You, Caroline, accidentally broke our boss's, Jerry's, mocha pot. And we ran away like children.
Yeah.
We ran away like damn children.
Yes, yes,
and tried
you did.
To find super glue.
Yes. That is what occurred. It's the handle just kind of popped off. And yes, I was there. We all panicked.
We panicked. And then Jerry could have cared less. She was like, it's fine.
I mean, you know, you don't want to disappoint Jerry. If y'all listen to Stuff You Should Know, then like you've probably heard many a tale of Jerry. She is one of the sweetest, like mama bear kind of humans on the planet. And like, you just don't want to disappoint Jerry.
Nope. But we definitely ran away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even literally ran away. Anyway, what about the nutrition?
Espresso has a small smattering of micronutrients, not a lot of macronutrients to speak of. You know, a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of fat from the oils and the coffee beans. And caffeine levels can vary. I drink responsibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Caffeine hits me hard.
So oh, yeah. No, me careful. Too. Me too. Mm-hmm.
One day we'll do a caffeine episode. That'll be interesting.
No, no.
We do have a one number for you.
We do. So the global market for espresso as a drink, just like shots of espresso, has been estimated to be worth $13.8 billion a year as of 2022 and is projected to grow. This is a small segment of the much larger overall coffee industry and also a small segment of the much larger overall like espresso drink industry, which I don't have numbers for. Sorry about that. Anyway, more espresso is made in cafes than at home, even through the pandemic. Europe still holds the largest market segment, though South America is expected to grow the most over the next few years.
Huh. And yeah, I would love to hear from listeners about this one, because from what I've read, the ordering practice around espresso can vary. Both in like the terms that you use, but just sort of the process that happens after that. I would just be curious to hear about that from listeners from other countries.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like here in the States, we have been so trained by Starbucks. Like, I feel like that is where most of us like learned.
Yeah.
How to espresso. And they have such a specific, like, corporate shakedown going on that, like, it's really, I hate the term authentic because, like, authentic can mean a whole lot of things. And I'm pretty sure that it was developed as part of the World Fairs, which were really racist. So, but I do think that, that is not how it goes in other places.
Right. Yeah, and we are going to talk about that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
World Fairs and Starbucks in the history section.
We will. But first, we're going to get into a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so yes, see our coffee episode for a lot more information and context.
Oh, yeah.
Also, before we get into this one, this is going to be a fun with Italian and I believe some other, there's German.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so gonna try my best, but it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So very, very briefly, historians and experts believe that coffee was most likely discovered in 9th century Ethiopia. Or at least that's where the records are like, definitely by then it was there.
Yeah.
Many sources posit that North African traders introduced coffee to Italy sometime during the 15th or 16th century. And coffee became very popular and often expensive beverage that had a lot of intrigue around it in that area. This kind of like coffee culture really starting to grow.
Yeah.
All right. But espresso specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Most put the invention of the espresso in Italy over 100 years ago, something that was the direct result of the invention of the espresso machine.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, this machine is often credited to a fellow named Angelo Moriondo. At the time in Europe, coffee culture was, yes, it was booming, cafes were huge, but still it took some time to get the customers their order because of the technology that was available. Brewers and inventors across the continent started experimenting with ways to speed up the process, particularly with steam, because steam machines were the top technology at the time.
Uh-huh.
This resulted in a slew of patents and inventions, but Italian Angelo Moriondo and his 1884 patent of a, quote, new steam machinery for the economic and instantaneous confection of coffee beverage is the one that is sort of regarded as the first.
Yeah.
All right, so let's break down this machine. It consisted of a big boiler that was heated to 1.5 bars of pressure. Oh, no. to push water through the coffee grounds, and a second boiler to finish the product out. He created this product for the Turin. General Exposition, a bulk brewer. So it made a lot, and the first known to use both water and steam. However, there is not much evidence at all in terms of things like photographs or even branding. The patent is really kind of the only thing we have about this. Huh. Mm-hmm. We do know more about some of the other innovators of espresso and espresso machines from around this time. Two of the big ones were Luigi Bezzara and Desiardo Pavoni. Bezzara had a lot of knowledge and experience in terms of drinks and liqueurs, perhaps specifically. And by the 20th century, he is credited with inventing the single shot espresso into a cup, mostly due to his determination to speed up the brewing process. He did this by improving upon Moriando's original design, adding a portafilter, more than one brew head, among other things that, yeah, still exist in espresso machines today. Mm-hmm. With these innovations, it took seconds to brew a cup of espresso. However, it wasn't perfect. Because the machine was heated over an open flame, the shots it produced were inconsistent, and overall, it was kind of hard to control. He tried a few more prototypes, but ran out of money. And also, he wasn't great in the marketing department, which seems like a theme so far. But all was not lost because he had a friend in high places, like Pavoni.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. So in 1903, Pavoni purchased the patents from Bezzara and got to work on improving the design. One of his biggest contributions was the invention of the pressure release valve, which meant that hot coffee wouldn't splash all over and potentially burn folks. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. And also sped everything up even more. On top of that, Pavoni gets the credit for inventing the steam wand, which made it possible to get to extra steam that was available inside the boiler. Bezzara and Pavoni came together for the 1906 Milan Fair to introduce the Cafe Espresso from their machine that was called EDL. At the time, this sort of steam-powered machine was really in vogue. The picture gets a bit fuzzy from here. It's possible that Bezzara improved even further on the machine, but he either faded away from the business or was bought out. Pavoni, meanwhile, began marketing these machines with the name Espresso. One of the slogans was, "Made on the spur of the moment," or perhaps expressly, as I read somewhere. Mm-hmm. Though it also said perhaps the name was because the water was expressed through the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Pavoni started to produce these machines commercially. After the IDL's debut at the Milan Fair, the whole landscape of espresso changed, with people copying this machine or improving upon it. But yes, the first espresso machines of the 20th century primarily relied on steam power alone to push its way through the coffee grounds, producing up to 1,000 cups of espresso an hour. However, the resulting product still left a lot to be desired. It often tasted burnt or overly bitter than what most people would prefer. The pressure produced was low. Another issue. While Italian coffee consumption was steadily rising until the 1920s, coffee was briefly deemed a luxury import in the early 20s with the new fascist government in Italy. And the installation of new espresso machines in Italian bars was banned for a short time, with a few exceptions. Through things like this, coffee consumption dropped in Italy, and Italians started using the word barista to replace the English word barman as part of a campaign to erase foreign words, which, is a whole thing I really want to dig into at a later date.
Yeah.
But for our purposes now, that was kind of a hit in coffee and espresso culture in Italy. Still, people kept refining and experimenting and testing. Gas got replaced by electricity, the machines got smaller, lighter and more efficient. However, Pavoni's machine reigned, and espresso was largely a regional Milan drink at this time. He did have some competitors, including inventor Pierre Teresio Arduino, who really dedicated himself to finding a way to brew espresso without relying on only steam. Mm-hmm. He tried a bunch of different technical things, many that didn't pan out. You can tell that I was like, oh, that's over my head. But yeah, he tried a bunch of different things. But he was really excellent in the marketing department. Yes. He hired a graphic designer and created this whole marketing machine around espresso and espresso machines. And through his efforts, Arduino exported these machines throughout Europe. These innovations around the espresso machine kept going until around 1940, when Achille Gaggia got the idea to improve the process of pressurizing the water with a hand-operated pump. This removed the reliance on steam pressure alone and allowed for over 2-bar brewing, up to 8 to 10 bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The boiler size shrunk, and this new design also standardized the size of a shot, since the cylinders on these lever groups were limited to holding 1 ounce of water, which, again, I'm so interested in.
Yeah.
This is also where the whole pulling a shot comes from. Even though the process today is largely automated. From this innovation, baristas discovered crema, or that foam, yeah, that is often floating atop espresso. There was a whole branding thing that happened around this, too, because at first, customers thought that this was, like, this crema was scum or something that you really didn't want.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But clever marketers were able to essentially label it as café crème, and basically make it sound like only the best quality coffee could produce it. Like, you were so lucky to have this. You should be paying more for this.
Oh, goodness. I love all of this.
Mm-hmm. The innovations were not over, though. And in fact, like, even today, again, like, with my friend with her fancy machine she got at Christmas, still ongoing. But okay, in 1961, Ernesto Valente invented the FIMA E61 that came with a motorized pump to create 9 bars of pressure, a heat exchanger to maintain the ideal temperature, and it was smaller, streamlined, it was stainless steel, it was more versatile, it was very popular. Also, perhaps a different episode, but I did want to mention the espresso martini was probably when I do the research, so much more will come out. But basic Google search, probably invented in the 1980s. And yeah, according to a quick search, British bartender Dick Bradzell was working at the Fred's Club in the 80s when an unnamed model came to the bar and asked for something to wake me up and fuck me up. and he whipped together a drink of sugar, vodka, coffee liqueur, and espresso. But yes, of course, as with all those cocktail hours, a lot of conflicting tales. I'm very excited to dig into it in the future.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yes. And then, yeah, specialty coffee shops were a rarity in the 60s in the United States. But that was something that changed in the 80s, in part thanks to the first Starbucks opening in 1987. I think several opened that year. Nowadays, there are over 5,500 Starbucks locations around the world. And it's, yeah, practically a joke that there are 2 on every corner. Yeah. And all of them offer espresso.
And yeah, for all of the like new shiny drinks that the brand offers seasonally, All the time. The just espresso option went unchanged for basically 43 years. The first time that they began marketing a second different roast of espresso, blonde roast, was in 2018.
Oh, I had a past coworker of ours before. Back when I thought espresso was still so fancy, she ordered an espresso one time. We were at a work event at Starbucks or something. I remember thinking, like, whoa. Oh, I've come so far. As have espresso innovations.
Yes.
Because, yes, as we said, I'm sure you've seen the ads. Like, these people love this product. And so the innovations keep coming. There are computerized machines that just look so sleek and advanced. And it's really funny to me because there was a line I read somewhere in the history portion, one of the articles from the history portion, where they were talking about how sleek these old vintage machines look. And I feel like that's coming back as a retro thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It also reminds me like a lot of, I don't know, like there's a certain like, It's more than the steampunk aesthetic, but this all certainly does tie into the steampunk aesthetic. So I'm like, all right, okay, espresso. Back to cocktails for a second. Right now, with the cocktail renaissance that we are in, mixed drink applications of espresso are expected to like pretty seriously fuel market growth over the next few years, especially with new prepackaged espresso products coming out for like bars and home consumers to use without needing to brew it fresh. Although I am positive that many humans would argue that if it's not fresh brewed, it's not really espresso.
This reminds me of I don't know if you've ever seen back when Conan had his show. Jordan Slansky, his producer, really loved espresso. There was an episode where he just went off about espresso. Oh. And I was like, I can't tell if you're being serious or if this is a bit, but I'm very nervous right now. I'm very, very nervous.
There's an intensity. I love the intensity. I want to hear all about it, but please don't come for me.
Please don't come for us. No. I did go on a rabbit hole after this episode of looking at espresso cocktails, which is funny because I really have no way of making espresso currently, but
yeah,
I was just curious. Yeah. And then final note, apparently in 2022, an Italian coffee bar was fined 1,000 euros after a customer was charged 2 euros for a decaf espresso, and the price wasn't listed on the menu. He called the police. It was a whole thing. Oh. And again, this is something I want to look into because apparently this is a law. Like, you can't pull this.
No. You have to list your prices on the menu situation?
I think you have to list your prices, and listeners write in. I believe there's a set price for espresso. I think I could be wrong, but that's what this article made it sound like, was like, you don't go above this, or I can't remember if it was a law or if it's just kind of like a general understanding.
Huh. Yeah, definitely let us know, and or we can look into it right at a later time and date. Interesting.
Yes. Oh, I would love to look into that more. Well, that is for future us, though. Huh. In the meantime, listeners, we have tasked you with a lot of prompts to write into us about. So please, please do.
We have some listener mail from humans who have already written to us. But first, we are going to take one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that. Mm-hmm. And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with a listener mail.
Ooh, wow, that went places.
That's how I feel when I have espresso.
Yeah.
All over the place. Lots of energy.
Like your blood is just doing a parade right through your body.
Mm-hmm. But in the best way.
Absolutely.
Gabrielle wrote, "Hello, just got through listening to your horseradish episode. My mother and I are of German descent. She always grew a horseradish plant wherever she was living and would take great pride in grating her own whenever she made a pork roast for dinner. If we had company, it was the guest honor to grate the horseradish root. It always made for interesting comments as they would start sniffling and crying from the smell of it. There's nothing like fresh grated horseradish. Also, if you buy the prepared horseradish, I would suggest the one that comes in the refrigeration section, which has no extra preservatives in it, and it's true horseradish root. If you mix it with sour cream, you'll get the creamy version. Every episode brings me so many memories. Thank you for taking me down memory lane."
Aww.
Well, thank you for sharing, and I love this. I love that you have a tradition where the guests grate it and then they cry.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's so good.
That is amazing. I love this. I love how households honor guests, especially at a dinner table. It's always such an interesting, like, personal tradition. Also, super second, buying the refrigerated prepared horseradish. That is the only way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this, to me, that combination of, like, pork roast and horseradish sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. I'll keep an eye out.
Kina, or perhaps Kenna, I'm so sorry, they wrote, "On the island of Malta, there exists a soda pop called Kinney. It's flavored with bitter orange. When I studied abroad there in 2011, it was a rite of passage for students to try a sip. We then made a face and exclaimed how incredulous it was that it was such a popular drink. I can't bear the thought of wasting food, so when I found myself with nearly an entire bottle of Kinney, I committed to drinking it all. Over the course of a week or so, I sipped from my bottle of flat, room-temperature, bitter orange Kinney, and I began to like it. By the end of my time there, I was purchasing bottles of Kinney just because I wanted some. Since then, I've thought about buying Kinney online, but it's a little pricey to ship overseas. Anyway, I thought you all should know that this exists. The Moxie episode made me want to find a bunch of lesser-known or regional sodas and have a tasting night."
Yes!
yeah. Oh, I've never heard of that one, but I love bitter orange. I want to try that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, that just sounds so fun. That reminds me of, we have the World of Coke here in Atlanta, and they have, like, a final room, which is just Coca-Cola flavors from around the world.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff in there. And so your tasting night reminds me of, like, a much calmer, more less stressful, I'll say, version of
of the world of Coke. Yeah, which is like inevitably sticky. And there's like children.
Yeah. And everybody wants to try everything. Yeah. And it just is chaos.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had fun, but definitely this sounds more low key.
Yes.
And highly, we encourage you to do it. And if you do, please let us know how it goes.
Absolutely. Oh.
Yes. And in the meantime, thanks to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks as always to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taíno, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.